St. Paul's writing to Timothy on how to conduct a public worship service like this one, perhaps. He says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself as a ransom for all. St. Paul wrote 13 letters that are recorded for us in the pages of the New Testament. 9 of those letters Paul wrote are written to churches. 4 of those letters Paul wrote are written to individuals. And 3 of the 4 are written to young pastors, 2 to a young pastor named Timothy, and the 3rd to a young pastor by the name of Titus. In chapter 1, Paul, who is writing to Timothy, who's serving now the church in Ephesus as their pastor, he tells them, him first of all, to try to correct any false teaching that may have crept into the congregation. And then secondly, he tells him that he's to do his best to put the feet of the believers in that congregation on a path to godly living. You know, despite the fact that Timothy, Paul reminds us, had been taught the Word of God from the time he was a child by his mother Eunice and also by his grandmother Lois, and the Word of God had been taught to Timothy by Paul himself, he must have been a rather unassertive, he must have been a rather timid, bashful, shy young man. Because that's why Paul goes on to tell him in the 4th chapter, do not let anybody despise your youth. But be careful in your speech and your conduct and your faith in purity. Maybe as a younger pastor, he was telling him, you know, just maybe you ought to do more listening and observing for a while, Timothy, than always being the forefront of every discussion. And Paul tells him again in the 2nd letter, God has not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, Timothy, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. You know, he tells Timothy, a superior telling a young man to conduct his whole ministry in a spirit of humility. Paul said to Timothy, can you believe this? I'm the foremost of all sinners. And yet, God, through the gospel, totally transformed my life and made me now into a totally different person. And he does the same for you. He does the same for all of us day by day as we live in the power of our baptism. Paul must have had great affection and love for Timothy because he opens both of these letters by addressing him as Timothy, my son. And so now he's saying, when it comes time, you know, to give the prayers and the public worship service, as we're going to do in a few moments from now, I think Paul is saying, you know, the natural tendency is for us, of course, to pray for ourselves, to pray for our loved ones, to pray for our family members and friends. But even though you're not that big of a congregation yet there in Ephesus, Paul says, as the apostle to the young protege, Timothy, I want you to pray for all people, even those whom God has put in authority over us. I want you to offer up supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving. There are 4 different words there that mean prayer, but they're all slightly different one from another. A supplication is a request that one person may make of another, or that a request that a person may make of God. An intercession is a request that a person may make of God because one realizes that the problem is so great that only God Almighty has the power to correct what's wrong. Isn't that how it is when we pray for so many people who are stricken with severe illness and disease, but that God heal them, they'll not be healed? He tells us also to offer up intercessions, to be offering prayers for others. He I like he says, don't forget to offer prayers of thanksgiving, Timothy. Because the natural tendency for all of us, even when our prayers are answered, to be more like those 9 lepers that Jesus cured, you remember? The lepers, 10 of them, had to keep a certain distance from Jesus because their leprosy was thought to be a communicable disease. And from a distance, they had heard about Jesus, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus called back to them, go and show yourselves to the priests, and you'll be healed, because the priest had to give it a clean certificate of a bill of health before they could be rejoined society. And can you imagine how it was? It's in the process of going that maybe they turned around with those leprous hands and ears and pieces of their nose missing or toes missing off their feet. And as they're going to the priest, suddenly they begin to notice in one another that their bodies are being made whole. The fingers are all there again. The ear is back on the right side of my face. Yes, I want to get to the priest as fast as I can to get that clean bill of health. But there was only one of the 10 who said, wait a minute, I got to go back. I got to go back to Jesus and fall at his feet and thank him for this miraculous thing that's taken place. You know, our prayers should always be filled, of course, with gratitude too. He says, let's pray to all God for his guiding and directing world leaders of our own country, yes. He's saying pray for the president, whether you voted for him or not. Pray for the Congress, whether you voted for them or not. Pray for the governor, whether you voted for her or not. Pray for the state legislature, whether you voted for them or not. Pray for even kings and leaders and of foreign nations that may not even be Christian. And the goal is all, why? So that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life. You know, as I took a close look at the scripture lessons this week, those 5 words just jumped off the page at me. What does Paul have in mind when he says we should pray so that we'll have a peaceful and quiet life? There are all kinds of answers that you could give. I think of the people living in Chicago where the 500th homicide has now been committed in 2016, living among all that gang violence and the drug culture there. Maybe for them to have a peaceful and quiet life would be able to live in a safe neighborhood. There's so many answers you could give. But I believe that Paul goes on to give us his own answers in the words that follow in that epistle lesson today. We should pray that God would make it possible for us to live in a society that's governed by law and order, that we might have the freedom to worship and to preach the gospel to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. Paul says that part of a peaceful and a quiet life is to be godly in your character, to allow God's own attributes to infiltrate our whole personalities and makeup, that just as God is dedicated to justice, so we're to be dedicated to justice and to freedom and to living the truth. You know, people who are not dedicated to living the truth but think very little of telling falsehoods to other people, why, how can you ever have a proper sense of self-respect if you know yourself to be that kind of person? You are to have a godly life. You have a life that's dignified, that's full of self-respect. Then God says it comes about for us when we acknowledge, first of all, that there's one God. You know, anthropologists who study world religions and the history of culture say there are 3 great religions that all embrace monotheism, the idea that there's only one God. Islam believes in one God. The Jewish people, of course, believes in one God. Christians believe that there's only one God. But it's only Christians who say that this God has entered our world as one of us. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself as a ransom for all, Paul said. And doesn't that make all the difference in the world? He came that we might have forgiveness that flows directly into our hearts and minds from the throne of God, wherever the gospel's proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. One of the great landmarks celebrating the political freedom we enjoy in the United States is the Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island. You know, it was given as a gift of goodwill by the people of France to the United States back in 1886, and it was near the 100th anniversary that the Statue of Liberty had been closed down for a while. You might remember on the 100th anniversary, July 4th, President Reagan and Nancy were there for this great celebration of the reopening of the Statue of Liberty. And one of the things that they did was allow people to get in a helicopter and to fly around the Statue of Liberty, to go even to the very top of it, some 305 feet into the air, equivalent of the height of one 28-story building. You know, there was a man who was the son of Oscar Hammerstein who took that helicopter ride. And he was so impressed with the details atop the head and the torch of the Statue of Liberty. He said, here, the man who designed it, that Frenchman Bartholdi, Frederic Bartholdi, why, he was living at a time when he never imagined that mankind would be able to get into a helicopter or an airplane. You know, he probably thought when he was designing the Statue of Liberty that only a few seagulls would ever see the top of the head. And yet, it was all done with such precision and meticulousness because of his dedication to excellence. You know, but no matter how careful people are with respect to doing something to the very best of their ability, the handiwork of the greatest human designer or sculptor living in any place at any time always pales in comparison to the work of God. You know, just consider for a moment the nature of the human body that each of us inhabits. Talk about painstaking detail. Who would be foolish enough to believe that there's no God, the psalmist says, Psalm 14. There's one God, but here's the center of the Christian faith. That God has revealed himself to us as one mediator between God and human man, beings the man Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us all. You know, the early disciples, they heard Jesus teach, they saw him heal people's hurts, they witnessed his death upon the cross, they encountered him in his eternal glory following his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, and when he appeared to them again in the upper room that first Easter evening and again the week later, saying, peace be unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, you know, he said, I give unto you a peace that the Bible says we have access to. I love that verse, don't you? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says, and then the peace of God will be with you. The God of peace, he says, will be with you. But I don't believe so much he's talking about when we're out there in isolation, separated from one another. But when the Word of God is allowed to do its chief work of cleansing our souls from sin and the fear of death and strengthening within us the hope of eternal life. Love one another, he said, as I have loved you. Forgiving and embracing. You know that if you check into the Sheraton Hotel today, that you'll have a new message that you can hang on the outside of your hotel room door. For decades at the Sheraton, just like in most other major hotel chains, the sign said, do not disturb. But now if you check into the Sheraton, as of a couple years ago, the sign simply says, peace and quiet. And if you check into the more upscale sister chain of the Sheraton, the Westin, the sign simply says, quiet. It says that people are looking not just to keep all of the disruptions and disturbances in their lives at bay, they are looking also to find something positive. They're searching for peace and quiet. Or if quiet is too much to ask for, then maybe some peace. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us all. May God fill us with his resurrected and glorified life again this day, that being totally freed from the threatening power of our sin, we may know the joy of living in that freedom which Jesus always promises. To those who want to enjoy a peaceful and a quiet life. Amen.